Congratulations, Tom. We say congrats.
Yeah, we're excited. Cool.
Okay, we can get started.
Sam or Ben?
Yeah.
We're going to all call you Sam now.
I think we should honor the doctor's sister. Sam, I am.
Yeah. Welcome to the board meeting. Entertain the motion to, I don't remember how it goes, except the minutes from last meeting.
Yes.
Can we do a roll call really quick?
Okay, sorry, roll call.
No, you're good. Just so we've got.
I can't remember the orders.
Selena Shockley.
Julie Rust.
Stacey Beck.
Scott Aylett.
Angie Gura.
Ben Sansom.
Becky Hill.
Okay. Any public comment?
I did invite my friend's friend, who is the homeschool person. Mm-hmm. She is not able to come tonight, but she will probably come later on.
Cool. Great. Now we can move on to math.
Now I entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the September 2025 meeting.
Kind of as a recap, we covered a few policies, with fines and fees and old accounts. So that was kind of the bulk of last month's meeting.
All right, I'll first move.
I'll second it.
So first from Melanie, a second from Angie. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. Upcoming events. This Saturday, we have our annual Dia de los Muertos event. Let's see, this should link to the actual event. So we'll have craft story time. Author Valeria Nunez is going to be here. We'll have a film showing of Coco up in the Heritage Room. So a bunch of fun things. And then we'll have some community partners here that are here talking about different services that they provide. It's a great opportunity for maybe members of the Hispanic community to be aware of some of these resources that are available through, you know, Early Head Start and Kids Who Count and United Way and some of these other organizations. So this Saturday, it says from 1 to 2, but I think it starts at 1 and then the movie starts at 2 o'clock and the movie's going to be what, like an hour and a half. So it's really probably more like 1 to 4 for all of the events. So
I noticed a typo, sorry, in Spanish.
You're good.
Is it something that you can change or do you have to go back in? And
I can go back in and change it. If you'll send it to me.
Sure.
And then I'll...
It says comienza, it should be comienza.
Okay.
Without that N.
Sweet.
Sorry.
Nope, that's good.
How have you guys advertised it to that community?
We do a couple outreach events every single month at Tabitha's Way. That's right now kind of our big outreach that we do with the Hispanic community. I guess there was another food bank that closed down over in Springville, so Tabitha's Way has been swamped.
Mm-hmm. And then this SNAP thing is going to just make it worse.
Make it even worse. So we do a lot there. And then we've got a couple of employees that are really involved in the Hispanic community anyways. And so they're working and reaching out to those that they know in the community. But okay. We can always be doing more to try and reach out to those organizations. But when we go to Tabitha's Way, it is just nonstop busy. They'll go for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, and just nonstop be engaged with patrons, helping them understand library services and what we offer and whatnot.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really cool. And we do a pop-up story time over there for the kids while mom and dad are maybe taking care of certain things.
At Tabitha's Way?
We'll do a little story time at Tabitha's Way. And then we have our bilingual story time on Monday nights that is usually pretty well attended.
Is it?
Yeah, English and Spanish. So it's good for parents that maybe don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And then for kids that are maybe wanting to learn Spanish. So it's
cool.
A great resource that we have.
Okay.
So,
do you guys do your social media in Spanish too? Because I feel like lately I've just been seeing a lot of like reels on Facebook from you guys.
Yeah.
Like in a lot of stuff. And I don't know if you just stepped that up or I just, my logarithm just let me start seeing it. I don't know how it works. But I wondered if you do them in Spanish too.
We do some of them. We had one this week
to
promote this program.
Okay.
that was in Spanish, but I don't think we do all of them.
I don't know, because there are people acting. I don't know.
Right. I wonder if you can do, like, subtitles or captions right in other languages. And maybe that's something we could look into to help communicate that. But some other events that we have going on, I guess, for November, we'll be closing at 6 o'clock on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's pretty typical. And then close Thursday through Saturday. In December, we're doing an author event with, I can't remember the name of the organization. Let me pull up the... it is with the League of Utah Writers. And so we'll have a bunch of different authors here, and patrons will be able to come in and purchase books in time for the holidays, all from local authors. And then we're looking for volunteers that can help with gift wrapping. So if you're interested and you want to come in for a little bit and wrap presents for people who purchase from local authors.
My wife won't let me wrap presents. Right. So I'm not the best candidate.
You go over to the library. So I'm wrapping presents for the
library. But it'll be cool.
Go to the library and wrap presents.
Yeah, right. but yeah, 23 local authors that'll be here with their materials, and you can come in and get to know them and see what they have available, and kind of get to know what authors we have in the area. So kind of a fun.
Will they like have stations? Are they going to?
Yeah, so they'll all be up. I don't know if they'll be presenting or not. I can find out about that. But I think it'll be different stations. You can kind of walk around and learn about the different authors and that sort of thing.
And they'll be selling their books. Yeah.
Do you have a list already of those?
I don't. I can get a list.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Okay, I'll get a list and send it to you guys.
Are you going to post it on the website?
Yeah.
Once
we have like a finalized list, we can post it. usually those types of events will have like opportunities for the authors to speak to the group, but it's kind of hard to get everyone to sit down to listen to an author when there's so many of them, right? We can figure something out. We have our annual employee appreciation dinner on the 12th, so you all are invited to bring a plus one. We'll send out an RSVP probably in the next week or so. But we love finding opportunities for the board to be able to mingle more with the library staff. And starting next year, I had a staff member with a great idea that each board meeting, I'll start bringing one of my staff members, and they'll come and take 5 to 10 minutes to talk about their division, maybe what they do. We could probably do like some hands-on type things where you can go over and learn more about tech services or that sort of thing, and kind of get you guys more familiar with kind of the back end of what we do. So we'll start doing that in January. But Friday, December 12th, we close at 6, so we'll just start right after we close. But we'll send out an RSVP here in a little bit. And then we're closed the 24th and 25th for Christmas, and then we have our New Year's Eve party on Wednesday the 31st. So kind of some big things coming up.
Did you guys try to hit... I feel like it's been 5 minutes since we were trying to hit how many of our 1,000 books... last year that they were celebrating at the New Year's Eve party? Are you doing that?
Yeah, so our goal this year was 700,000, including Libby. Okay. We're on track, I think, to do between 705 and 710.
Good. Right.
So cool. We had some good months during the summer to help make up for the slower months of the year. So
okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just a minute ago. I was coming in checking out a ton of books, trying to help. And I was like,
Judy's like,
books are out.
And then you're seeing New Year's Eve, I'm like, oh my gosh, it is. It's like
a bumper. It goes so fast. Speaking of the holidays, right now we would have a board meeting on Tuesday, November 25th, which is 2 days before Thanksgiving, and or 2 days before Christmas. Which I think...
See you all in January.
Well, could you do it a week earlier or something?
In November, the week before would be council meeting. Right, that'd be November 18th. Tuesday night is the third Tuesday, so you'd have city council meeting.
Well, that's fine if you guys all still want to meet.
Yeah. So let's tentatively plan on the 18th of November, and then if we don't have anything, we can just cancel, and then December.
Yeah, we could make them go to council meeting.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be thrilling for them. She's been a while since you brought cookies.
Did cookies council meeting?
I sure did.
Yeah, I forgot about that now.
Did you want something?
I'm just kidding. I was in an appreciative mode.
Oh,
That's how she shows her love. Awesome. Appreciation is by baking.
I had a friend who lives in D.C. that brings cupcakes to politicians all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he want something?
No, it's also a gratitude thing. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so we'll plan on the 18th, so the third Tuesday in November. And then, what, sorry? And we can just scrap December. Enjoy.
It's just too close to Christmas.
Enjoy your December. And that's right around the same time that we anticipate that the Fit City Center will probably be opening. So,
go to Fit City. Yes.
Okay. I don't have any material reconsideration requests to go over this month. So we can jump in and talk about displays. So, as you guys remember, each year we kind of come to you with ideas for theme displays for the following year. I will zoom in because that font is tiny. I can send this to you as well if you want some more time to kind of review them. A lot of them are kind of carryover from this year because we didn't get to all of the themes that we had hoped for. But really, again, the purpose of this is so that we have buy-in from you, the library board, because it feels like as much as we try and display materials that would be of interest to as many people within the community while also showing reflecting different perspectives and that sort of thing. Sometimes displays can cause concerns throughout the community. So we appreciate being able to vet those themes with you beforehand because you represent the community and you might, you know, you have a good pulse. We certainly believe we have a good pulse as staff, but it's helpful to vet it with you as well to say, do these themes kind of feel in line with what you would expect to see from the library? As we display materials. So I'm really kind of proud of my staff of some of the fun and exciting themes that they have planned for next year. So blue is children's, tween is kind of in the yellow, and then purple is our teen and adult section. I'll try and bring this over a little bit so that you guys can kind of see if there's anything that really sticks out, any concerns that you guys might have. Again, we try our best to be representative, but also provide for some opportunities to maybe learn about other cultures and random holidays, like National Pig Day in March. It's like everything has a different day.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's on National Spaghetti Day. That's my husband's favorite meal. He hasn't moved on. It's been really easy.
Okay, I love Who Run the World.
What is that?
Women biographies. Who Run the World. I like that. Tell whoever came up with that. High fives for them. That's very clever. I think that's just cute.
See, and I'm thinking it doesn't sound like proper English, like it needs an S after the N.
Who runs the world?
Drag this over so you guys can hopefully see them all on one. There we go. Is scrolling too fast.
No, it's just fine.
This is fun. Mm-hmm. So cute. If the crown fits.
books with ugly covers.
That's funny. That's so great. Or unloved.
Or unloved.
Right? Do we have any left-handed individuals in here? There's a... Oh.
No.
Ben is? We got Left-Handers Day.
So only... Japanese books.
Happy your Ben's Day. So random.
Yeah, very clever people.
Yeah, for real.
Ghost stories. I love that.
Like, these books blew us away.
They're blue covers.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute.
Yeah, that's great. Very creative. I like it.
Anything of concern to you all?
There was one in February that said, like, are you checking me out or something like that? What are you going to do with that? Like, are you going to have a...
So...
I was just curious about that.
Romantic themes.
Yeah. How are you going to do that?
I think it's kind of a play of, like, are you checking me out, but also, like...
Check my book. Check my...
Like, are you checking the book?
Are you checking me out?
Oh, I was thinking female, male. Like, flirting.
I think that's why it's going to be like...
It is a play on words, and I didn't take
romance,
it like that.
Romance,
like,
yeah, romance materials.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It took me a second, too. I'm like,
yeah, I was like, wait, that's
strange. And then I'm like,
that's a little much, maybe, okay. But okay.
So all just know you might have some slow people in the community, Angie and I.
So yeah, then I don't
have
to
explain it to them. That me, too. I'm like,
what is that?
Play on words.
Okay, I just want to ask about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they do a great job.
They are very clever.
They are very clever and creative.
I like how they tie together.
Yeah.
That's very clever. That's a lot of work. I'm so impressed.
And there's a lot of them that we really try and pair both fiction and nonfiction, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have individuals that maybe get stuck in the fiction side and not so much the nonfiction, vice versa, mm-hmm. right? So trying to bridge some of those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about Black History a lot in February, but I wonder about like African... authors and things like that.
Okay. So having it maybe
as part of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will put a comment like in here.
Modern.
And then if you choose something, let's say like President's Day, for example, do you have plenty of books to be checked out of just presidents?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. So all of these have.
We've got enough content that we could fill. We've got our three, like, we call them the wedding cakes. They're the big white displays. Mm-hmm. So that's where these displays typically go. Everything that's on top of the shelf or on the end ranges, those are ones that we just pull off the shelf because they move so quickly, especially mm-hmm. in the children's section. So the cakes are where we have our more deliberate displays. But yeah, we've got... I think we've just hit 80,000 items in our collection, so it's the biggest it's ever been. So we've got a lot of content that we can pull from.
It's great.
Do you know how many books, for example, you purchased this year or last year? Like, at the end of the year, do you have... I'm sure you have that, those numbers. Is it a couple hundred or...?
No, we buy, like, 6,000 books a year.
Oh.
Including replacement copies.
Right.
And then we're weeding materials and
so
replacing
those. So do you think
you
get rid of 6,000 or not quite?
We're
still building.
No, kind of the goal is to not weed more than 5% of your collection in any given year. Yeah.
Okay.
So weeding meaning we're removing it because of lack of circulation, right?
Right.
But we're losing materials to damage or being lost and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So.
Okay. 6,000, that's...
Yeah. But we're netting, right? Because in the old building, we were at about 73, 74,000 items. And so as we're buying, you know, 6,000 items every year,
mm-hmm.
we're netting because we've gone from 73 up to 80,000 items. So we're losing fewer than 6,000 items a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Cool. Our capacity is close to 100,000.
Nice.
But studies show that the fuller the shelf is, for some reason, the less it circulates. So we'll never get, I think, up to 100,000 because that would be...
all your shelves totally full. Because a lot of times you guys turn them sideways in the middle of the shelf or wherever.
Right.
Or have a whole shelf where you just put like 3 books.
Right. I mean, I guess in theory we could probably get to 100,000 because at any given time, anywhere between 25 and 35% of the collection is checked out. Mm. So... right now, there's
space.
Probably...
that's all we need. Yeah. We've got space. We've got to get space. A couple more books.
Yeah, just a few more. So, okay. Any other thoughts on displays? Great comment from Angie as well as from Ben. I almost called you Sam.
I know. We ruined it. You've set yourself up, Ben.
Yeah, I'd love any other thoughts or feedback you all have.
I love it.
Well, thank you. Again, I think this is unique. I don't know of another library that does it this way, but I appreciate having your guys' input and thoughts before we start doing displays so that we kind of help maybe reinforce what we perceive as being of interest to the public and we get your guys' kind of temperature and pulse on it. So,
the other thing I was, so on September 30th of every year, they celebrate Native American... liberation from boarding schools. It's like a Memorial Day for Native Americans who were at boarding schools by force. So maybe something in September about that. I don't know.
Kim?
That's cool.
I didn't even know about that, Ben. Where'd you hear about that?
I know like, stuff. No.
Well, no, not everybody does.
No,
like me.
So just part of yeah, so there's a Native American Heritage Month, but then there's something at the end of September. So,
do you remember what it's
a part of, like, the arts things that I do? There's also
Native American liberation from boarding schools.
Yeah, well, there's like so there's a Native American curriculum group that also is part of that arts program.
So we need also make sure that we even have books on that, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you have a theme, you'd want books, right?
Right. Hmm. Well, I'll ask my staff about it and see what they just
It would be fascinating because if I was walking around, I'm like, oh, wow, this is like history. I want to read this.
I'd have no idea that that's even the thing. Okay. Thank you for reviewing that for us and giving us your guys' input and feedback. Last thing that I have is kind of a follow-up to the policy changes we talked about last month. If you remember, we had talked about 3 different changes. The first was allowing patrons to return items after the 3-month window from when they were originally overdue and still get credit for bringing them back in good condition. The other was writing off any fines that are older than 5 years. And then the last was deleting accounts that are 5 years expired. So just last week we started going through the process of reviewing all of these accounts. We have almost 2,500 accounts with fines that are older than 5 years. And so we've started back, I think we're in like the early 2000s, but we had some back to 1995.
Have most of the people moved who have these fines?
We think so. So our process has been, we pull up the account and we reference our utility database to see, are they still a resident? And if they're not a resident, then we're marking them for deletion. Once we go through, we can't delete an account if it has fines on it. So first we have to go through and waive everything. And then we can go through back and delete all the old accounts. If they're still a resident, we're flagging them as such so that once we're done, we'll start doing some email campaigns, letting them know, hey, we waived your account balance.
Come back.
Right? And there have been a few that we have found that are still residents that haven't been to the library. And
so their account's inactive because our accounts go inactive after
3 years. 3 years. So they haven't used the library in 20-ish years, but they're still a resident. And so we'll do some efforts to reach out to them and say, hey, don't worry about that fine from 20 years ago. Come back.
I nominate Melanie to go door to door and let people know. Because they might not have the same email, Melanie. And I think it's the least you could do with cookies.
Yeah, I like that idea. Or other baked goods. I don't know.
Yeah, any baked good.
I'll put my red library shirt on.
There you go.
So I look.
Official.
So they don't think you're giving them weird food.
Yeah. I like that idea.
I told you guys, it was a while ago, but my now daughter-in-law, when she was in college, she went to the U and she went to the Salt Lake City Library and checked out a book and then lost it. So she even gets like anxiety driving by because she knows she owes a fine.
Oh, gosh.
So these fine things are real.
They're the truth.
She's like, I'll never go back to that library because I
know
I owe.
She could just go and pay the fine.
I know.
Or pay for the book and be done with it.
But I think it really gets in some people's heads.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah.
They made a joke about it on the show I was watching last night about how she had a library fine. Oh. It was like a weird comedy show, whatever. But they made a joke about a library fine she had from 5 years previous. So I was like, I'm a library fine.
See, that would just not even faze me. I'd be like, when I go in, I'll pay
it. Lose the book and I'm like, I'm just going to go pay for it because I can't even deal with thinking about this.
Right.
So I find it and I have to bring it back and get my money back. But I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now you'll be able to bring it back.
Yeah, I just can't even. I can't not come to the library, so I should just go and say it.
There was a patron I helped, I think 2 weeks ago, that she had over $300 in fines for a lot of lost materials. Mm. But after reviewing her account, we were able to bring it down to $100 because of the, I don't know, 10 or 15 items that were lost. She had brought back most of them and they were in circulation and had checked out since she brought it back. Like, why am I going to make you pay for it? It's right over there on the shelf, right? So it was really helpful for her and she's going to go back and see if she can find any of the other ones. Like, if you can't find them, let us know. Like, we...
So, like, she brought them back, but they didn't get credited to her account,
because
right?
It was after 3 months.
Oh.
So, before, if you brought it back on the 91st day, our policy was you get 90 days to bring it back after it's been overdue, and we'll credit. But if it's after that...
Then they get nothing.
They get nothing.
But you still have the book. I got it.
But in many cases, I still put the book into circulation.
Yeah, well,
and even if
book.
I don't, you brought it back. Let's get you up and running again. So...
Yeah.
We're excited. We're hopeful that this will provide opportunities for people that this has been a barrier.
Well, and just not to have anxiety about libraries.
Yeah. It's just a book.
We just want you to love the library.
We just want you to come and enjoy it. We've
no
already replaced the book
fine,
or didn't replace it anyway.
Someone loves you if you forgive their fine, no matter what.
For Christmas, you should just go pay that off for your daughter.
Just go to the library. Just wrap it up.
Actually,
that
would be hilarious.
She's the type that would be so mad at me. Doing such a thing and teasing her. Right now.
Tell her it was the board's idea.
Then she would have been like, you shared it with the board?
She's like, no, they looked up my back history. It's a really heavily vetted position.
It is.
Background checks.
And they found out that I was related to someone
board.
With a fine.
And they made me pay it or I couldn't continue.
There you go. That would be funny because I'm choosing a theme for all my grandkids and kids, and hers is going to be books because she's an avid reader.
It's actually
I just got her a sweatshirt and it says reading is my favorite sport.
That's nice.
So if I gave her a receipt that her fines paid off, it would be
hilarious.
I'm going to call the library and just ask if they still have information.
You got awesome.
If she hates me after that, Melanie, it's coming to you.
That's fine. I'll send her
all
some,
of you.
I think she would laugh. I think she would laugh. Maybe.
I
think
laugh
know.
Is hilarious.
Really? Yeah, I don't know.
She might not.
But it's okay.
So if she hates you, we all can say
it's
okay.
We like you, Stacey. She may not, but we do.
So, anyways, our goal is to be able to go through all of these before the annual mid-year work session with the City Council so we can give you some updates as a City Council as to what our efforts have been to try and provide opportunities for fine forgiveness in the community. So that's our goal by end of December to get through those 2,600 accounts. It equates to about $70,000 in fines that we will probably never, ever collect on because they're
that's
just so
a
old.
Lot of
insane.
Money.
Yeah.
Insane.
After 5 years, you see a dip in the chart of how much we collect. It just, it's not worth hanging on to it forever. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, you took your books open from 1995 or whatever.
Right. And many of those are probably pre-95. 95 is when the library moved to a computer system. So anything older than 95 was dated 1995. So there's probably some fines that are actually older than 95.
We were, not just we, but libraries in general, like, have been Nazis about this.
Well, there's a whole Seinfeld episode I was thinking about, too.
Yeah,
the
book,
cop.
Yeah.
Oh, the fine of the library.
Yep. It's funny how just over time you just start
thinking, like, do we need to have a fine? Like, I remember when we first talked about it at our mid-year session, I was thinking, well, that's weird. Why wouldn't you charge a fine? It's just like shifting your mind.
We bring in, I think, lost in overdues every year, we probably bring in about $15,000. So.
So anything 5 years or newer, you'll keep.
We'll keep it. Yep. And we'll just do it annually. So we'll probably pick, I don't know, January or February. We'll go back and do anything that was within the last year that hits that 5 year mark. But our staff will be trained that if you're helping a patron in July that comes in and you see that they have fines on their account that are older than 5 years, just go and waive them rather than constantly doing it throughout the year. We'll just do it once and then do it again the following year, but maintain it as patrons come in. So.
Are you guys doing your food bank for fines this month?
Yes, and we've extended it because of
the whole issue
with Tabitha's way. So typically we do it for the month of October, but we've extended it through November as well. We don't really bring in a whole lot for food for fines because we don't charge a lot of fines anymore, right? We don't charge for children's books, right? And that used to be kind of the bulk of what we would get on overdue materials. So it still helps for some patrons, and we have some patrons that wait for food for fines and then they come in, and even if they're under $10, right, which is the threshold at which your account becomes restricted, you have some people that will come in and they wait till October to bring in some canned goods to pay down their fines. So
that makes sense right now. I'm gonna try to pay it.
It wouldn't let you.
How much do you have?
90 cents.
No. Well, thank you.
You're a real problem with that $70,000.
So. But so on the flip side, how is, I don't even know how to word it, like, are the books being checked out and kept out longer because people are like, they don't have fines, I'm apathetic, like, I don't care? Do you feel like you're getting any of that?
The studies and what we've learned from other libraries is it doesn't really encourage the patrons to hold on to the item longer because they're still going to get charged on their account, right? That we'll still do overdues if it's adult and teen materials. And then we didn't really see an issue with that when we went fine free with children's books back in 2018. So,
well, and you guys automatically renew twice now. I think usually in that time, very few people have brought the books back.
Right.
Like, they get, what is that, 9 weeks?
Yep.
Up to 9 weeks. You have the book before you get a fine?
Yeah.
So usually you've lost it. Brought it back in 9 weeks, I felt like.
Or your kids have moved past that book and they're on to something new, right?
Right. So it's like, okay. I think that also probably made the fines way less just because.
Yeah.
At that extension.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we haven't seen a significant increase in the number of lost materials by going fine free in these different ways or providing additional forgiveness.
Or people keeping books for a long period of time, but as long as they have a fine eventually.
Yeah, and I think the bigger challenge with that is an item that is really popular, right, that has a long hold list, trying to not incentivize the patron to hold on to it knowing that, well, whatever, I'll pay my $2 in overdue so that I can keep the book for an extra week or whatever, right? I think that's the bigger challenge, but it hasn't really been a huge issue.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
So
at what point do you charge them the fee for the book? Like, if there's not, like a kid's book, if they lose the kid's book, they just don't bring it back, there's no fees, at what point do you say this book's lost, they're never bringing
it back? So once it hits $8 in overdues, which is 10 cents a day, so
even though they're not being charged, you're keeping track of that.
Yeah.
8 cents. Okay.
So it accrues, and then once it hits $8, then we mark as lost. It's lost. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Mm. Cool. Any other questions, thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I just have a question. Yeah. How long, you kind of touched on it, and I don't think I heard it right. If someone doesn't use their library card, and then you think maybe they moved, how long of a time do they have? That, like 3 years, is that what you said?
Yeah, so accounts are active for 3 years, and so accounts have to renew every single year or every 3 years so that we can verify residency. And then if an account doesn't get renewed, we're going to wait for it to have been expired for 5 years. So it really could have been up to 8 years since their last.
Oh, okay. And they can come in and still check out a book. You won't be like, you haven't been here for 8 years.
Right, we'll renew their account and get them up and running. So before we go in and start deleting all these accounts, we'll send out messages and that sort of a thing to say, hey, we're going to delete your account in 30 days or in 2 weeks.
So you do notify them ahead of time.
Yeah, before they get deleted. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of these we won't really have good contact info for, right? They're all landline phone numbers, no email, so we won't really be able to contact them. But for those that we can...
the address of whatever house they lived in when they lived here.
That's where Melanie comes in.
Come back.
Yes. 100 years ago, that probably would have been the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Let's go door to door, take them some cookies, welcome them back.
Yeah.
Love it.
But our whole goal, right, is to get at least 50% of households within the community with an active library card. When we analyzed it last fall, it was 45%. So we'll do that analysis here in the next couple of months.
That's a lot, Scott.
That's pretty good.
That's really pretty good.
High. We're at
45%.
That's pretty
good. So this, on top of, we're working on a process right now that if you sign up online, rather than making you come in to pick up your library card... Mm-hmm. We're just going to mail it to you.
Oh, wow.
Has that been popular?
We haven't started doing it. We're still kind of working out like the procedures for that. We get a lot of sign-ups with utilities. Uh-huh. And so they sign up when they create their utility account. Wow. Maybe they forgot that they did it, and they don't ever come in and pick up their card, and then we just delete the account after 3 months of them not picking it up. Uh-huh. It's like, but if I mail it to them, is that another touch point? It's a reminder.
Yeah.
Here's instructions on how to log into Libby. Here's how you place a hold, all that sort of a thing. Do we get better retention that way?
Do they have to use that library card you mail them for you to consider an active account? Or it's just that's open and now they have an account?
It'll now be open.
So that'd be part of the 50% or whatever the goal is. Okay.
Yep. So just trying to take away barriers, right? Like, how do we make it? And we know we won't get 100%, and that's fine. But I feel like there's members of the community that would use the library, maybe if it could be a little bit more convenient, right?
Sure.
Not that it's inconvenient, but
how
can we make it easier for people and take away some barriers?
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Cool.
That's great.
Great job.
Thanks.
What was it before? Before you moved to this, do you know how many percent of books?
I have no idea.
That's something you started doing.
And I've tried to do like national research to see if anyone else has done that type of analysis, and I haven't found anyone.
I'm just curious. That's such a good statistic, I feel like.
Like they track number of users and that sort of a thing, but number of households, because some families have one account, right? So I can't really base it off of users because my family could have 3 separate library accounts and yours could have 0, right? And so it's just not a very good measure of usership. So, okay. Any other things, questions you guys have, things you want to talk about before we adjourn?
No, I mentioned, I think, last time that I was contacting middle school English teachers about reading lists
from the
library, and sent that out to most of the middle school teachers or English teachers in the community. So they have. I worked with Suzanne, is it?
Yeah.
And getting those reading lists, and I sent those out to the teachers.
Oh, cool.
So they're getting them to all of their students.
Awesome.
In an effort to get those middle schoolers to the library.
Cool.
Aww, that's great.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's great. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. There you go.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.